Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I love to geek out at plants. I love talking about plants and answering gardening questions. We're here this morning for the next 2 hours, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We have our producer, Lizzie Steele. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. Oh, but you know, we have a very, very special guest, though, in studio.
We are so excited. And so we have Dr. Gary Bachman from our Mississippi Extension Services in Mississippi, and you're retired.
I am retired, yes.
So you are here in the studios with us. Good morning, Gary.
Well, good morning, you know, Teresa and Lizzie. You know, it's always great to see you two in the morning here when we're visiting Central Florida. Well,
I am looking forward to a fun day. And we always talk about our morning beverages. And Lizzie, what do you have this morning?
Well, we have had kind of a rough week, as in lots of events going on. And I think I got to bed, or actually got to the house, about 12 o'clock this morning. So I'm drinking Body Armor.
Oh, gosh.
I can understand that. Gary, you're a coffee drinker.
I'm a coffee drinker. I had a cup on the way in from staying down with the mouse here for a couple days. So.
There you go. So you're all set and everything. So we have Gary for the next 2 hours. It's going to be a lot of fun. And your garden questions, we'll be taking those. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. We'll be talking more about Gary's adventures and what we are seeing in the news lately.
Yep.
And
yep.
So the weather-wise, it's going to be a great week. After today, in North and Central Florida, we're going to be having clear skies. We have a cold front coming through. We'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment. South Florida, you've got a lot of rain this week, so hopefully nobody has watered at all. And I was just saying to Gary that Brevard County, Volusia County on the coast is having flooding. Some of the cities on the coast have gotten over 7 inches of rain.
I mean, and that's just amazing. And I always think, you know, you don't think of, you know, the coastal cities as flood, because you're on the coast, right?
Right. Yeah, that water's going to go back out to the ocean, right?
And that's kind of the attitude I have being in South Mississippi. We're right on the Gulf. But we can get into those flooding conditions, too, because of, you know, the systems that come through.
The systems. And so this is off of the tropical storms and Hurricane Jerry. And I think that's the next one is Imelda, I think. But it's going to be a beautiful week. We do have that cold front coming through. When we have cold fronts, it is dry weather. And so it's going to be a great week to garden.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so we're looking forward to that. Also, too, we're going to be talking today about plants that glow in the dark.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Halloween. And more are coming online. We'll be talking a little bit about that. And some of the things that, you know, when we're talking about scary garden, a lot of it is just homeowners doing the wrong thing. Right?
I have been frightened sometimes, Teresa, going to visit homes, yes.
Yes. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about what we're seeing on there and where to get factual information.
Right.
Citizen research is very popular right now. Well, let's look it up on the internet. We're going to be talking about that.
Sure, yep.
And just letting you know where you can go for really, really good information. And so Gary, tell us, what you've been doing this week?
Well, this week, we've been trying to catch up with the garden. We've just got off of 4 days of rain.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, just continual. Not big, you know, not big volumes or anything. I think we had about 4 inches over 4 days.
Uh-huh.
But it just stopped all the garden activity. And so before we headed down south here, I had to get out and cut the grass, and there was weeds to pull, you know, and mm-hmm. there was all these chores that we have to do that were just being delayed.
Yeah. Now, tell me, I was in a client's yard yesterday, and she had beautiful Mexican hat coneflowers mm-hmm. and prairie coneflowers and black-eyed Susans that we planted for a wildlife garden and a butterfly garden in her yard. Now, when the seeds get so damp, when you haven't taken them off, and when they get damp and you don't get a chance to dry them, are they still viable?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're still viable. It, you know, think of Mother Nature and, you know, and those seeds reseeding themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's collecting those. Those seed heads will eventually dry out again. You mm-hmm. know, the seeds aren't going to germinate.
Right.
They're going to drop. and germinate next year. Yeah,
wow,
so
that'll
no
be great.
There's no problem with that.
Okay, because she was just saying, did she catch them too late because she was going to save the seeds?
Right.
And they kind of just kind of like melted in her hand. But there are some still viable seed in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just that seed head needs to dry out, and then everything will be fine.
And this is the perfect time of the year for it because it's usually, let's talk about La Nina. We've got just a few minutes.
Sure.
The scientists, the climatologists, the weather people, weatherman, they're saying we're in a La Nina now. It's on the record.
Yep.
And
yep.
So what does the La Nina mean?
Well, I mean, really for us in the Southeast, we always keep our fingers crossed, but chances are less storms.
Right.
With, La Nina is good for us.
Right.
And it usually means drier conditions, along the northern Gulf where I'm at.
Right.
Which we're starting into a period now where it does look like we've got cold fronts coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it's going to be a warm winter and not a lot of rain.
Right.
So, I mean, on one hand, that's good. But I like our cold winters. 3 days of nice, chilly weather, and then the sun shines the whole time, and, then it warms right back up again.
Well, in January, we had 8 inches of snow, which was fun for 3 days.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We've got Dr. Gary Bachman in the house if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And we're back and Better Lawns and Gardens. We have Dr. Gary Bachman in the studios with us this morning. And so he'll be able to answer your gardening questions if you have them. We'd like to just mention that Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland is going to have their their workshop at 9:30. And it's going to be on pest control, Lizzie. What's bugging you?
Lots of things are bugging me. Oh, no, you weren't asking
no,
about
that. No, that's the title, pest control, what's bugging you?
But they do ask you to BYOC, and if you don't know what that means, it means bring your own chair.
Yes, so. They're very full. I mean, there's beautiful plants there.
Yes.
All of our sponsors, Quality Green Specialists, Peterson's Nursery, they all have wonderful, wonderful plants.
Yes.
And so we're going to have Dana on next week, and we'll get his update for Quality Green Specialist. So we talked a little bit about the La Nina, and it's good for winter time. We're going to have a warm winter. So annuals, you were just telling me your petunia was very healthy and thrived through the winter.
Well, absolutely. Now, I'll tell you, it wasn't really happy in the wintertime.
Right.
Vista Bubblegum is my favorite petunia of all time. Everybody who knows me knows that. But last fall, they were looking good. And I'm like, I'm just going to let them go. I didn't want to do the work. The brown stems, we had 8 inches of snow in January, which was unusual for South Mississippi. This spring, I was going to pull the plants out. There were green shoots coming out from the base. And so I let the Vista Bubblegum
recover.
It wanted to overwinter. They were beautiful until about 4th of July, which is the normal time that petunias for us kind of start melting out. And it was like, that's great. Now I have some of the cool wave, or not the cool wave, the wave pansies.
The wave pansies. Oh, I haven't seen those yet.
Oh, they are wonderful.
I'm writing that down. Wave pansies.
I love all the spreading pansies. They're gorgeous.
So I love new plants. Lizzie, wave pansies.
Yes,
look them up,
please.
And so so the petunias, a really, really lovely annuals, good for hanging baskets. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. But there's also a new market for plants that there's a company called Light Bio.
Yes.
And they have created or actually have hybridized a petunia that glows in the dark, speaking of Halloween.
That's right.
And it's called Firefly.
Yep.
It is sold by Costa Farms, so you can find it at Costa Farms and in your box stores and nurseries around wherever you are. And so talk about bioluminescence. What are they actually doing to the firefly that makes them glow? Because now they're also doing it to succulents.
Yeah, well, now it's totally different things, but yeah, it's the same idea. Now, with the firefly, it's actually a GMO that they've taken luciferin, the molecule from mushrooms, and they've inserted that into the pansy genome.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, that's all cool. It doesn't appear that it's a long-lived, you know.
Yeah.
But for an annual that glows in the dark, it's pretty cool.
Sit out in the moonlight and just kind of watch the plants glow. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
So what's different about that and the succulents that they're breeding that are glowing in the dark?
Yes. From my homework that you gave me.
Yep.
The succulents, and now it was really cool. The pictures are really cool. But one of the succulents was like the leaves are all multicolored. And I'm thinking, how did they insert a gene to do that? Well, they did insert a gene. They injected with a compound called, I hope I pronounce this right.
Okay.
Strontium illuminate.
Strontium illuminate.
So they've injected this compound which absorbs light energy, and then in the dark, it radiates it back out. And it's something that just, it'll just keep on going. It just cycle back and forth in the light and the dark.
Oh my goodness.
Even when the plants die, they continue to do that because of the strontium illuminate.
Okay, so this kind of reminds me of Downton Abbey and when they put electricity in Downton Abbey and the vapors that electricity causes. And so is there anything about the plants that is harmful when they do that? Or, you know, they glow in the dark after they're dead, so does it go in the ground?
The strontium illuminate eventually breaks down. It's not toxic. I still wouldn't eat
sure,
the succulent leaves. But it's kind of along the same lines as the painted succulents that we saw several years ago.
And we still see them at the box stores. I feel so sorry for them because they can't breathe very well. Right. I mean, they're not going to last long.
But it's the same idea.
Yeah.
Of changing the colors on them like that.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And so when people see them, you know, just enjoy them for the time being. I mean, they were talking in the article that this is nothing that's going to, you know, be able to illuminate streetlights with. You know, it's just something that's just a fancy. And it's fun.
It's a novelty, fun item that you can have. And gardening should be fun. I really don't care if you want to paint your succulents. That's fine if you like it. If you want glow-in-the-dark succulents, hey, that's great. You know, it's another market for our growers.
Sure.
And maybe it gets somebody who isn't a gardener.
Yes.
Look at that glowing plants. Wonder what else plants can do for us.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Get some interested in gardening. Anything
absolutely
that brings, and also the kids, makes them more involved in the science behind it.
Yep.
So kids, it can kind of lure into gardening and horticulture.
Exactly.
So that's really cool. So that's the Echeveria, the varieties of succulents, and they're doing that. And so that's fun. And so the firefly you can get online, and it's beautiful. It's a nice globular petunia. And so they can get that at Costa Farm. So I'll post that on the Better Lawns and Gardens page.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it in our garden centers at all yet. I'm sure it'll happen.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure too. But there's no extra special care that they need?
No. I mean, the beauty of a succulent is you really don't have to do much to it. You know, spritz them every once in a while and
They are very easy care.
Yes.
You can leave them in the house. You don't have to parent them while you go on vacation.
That's right. Yeah, they're self-sufficient while you take a little trip.
There you go. Now you mentioned the word or the acronym GMO.
Oh yeah.
This just raises hackles on some people and some people are scared.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on GMOs?
I don't think we need to be scared of GMOs. The GMO is really, if you want to say, accelerating the development of new plants. You know, traditional breeding is GMO.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a long time to cross those genes.
Right.
You know, and the GMOs are probably producing plants that, you know, probably wouldn't occur in nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, I personally don't see anything wrong with it.
Right.
It's kind of like the organic inorganic argument.
That you can have your own opinion. Yeah, it doesn't matter either
way. Absolutely. And there's a lot of our, you know, are there 15 food crops?
There are 15.
GMO.
Our GMO.
That are in our food system.
Right.
That are fine.
So let's talk a little bit about seeds then. So people, you know, heirloom seeds, people want to go for the organic, the heirloom, the older ones, and then that are not GMO. Talk to us about your seed company. You have the Heritage Cottage Seeds.
Right.
What are you doing there?
Well, it's a project I started when I retired. Yeah. I have to do something or my wife would kill me. So I grow in my little farm in South Mississippi unusual peppers and tomatoes primarily that you're not going to get from the garden center. I grow a lot of old genetics, land-raised peppers from Mexico in the Southwest, and I grow these plants. I isolate with netting to make sure I can try to control crossbreeding. The crossbreeding on them. And it's just a fun hobby for me to do that, because you got to plan stuff. You got to think, well, I'm just going to let them grow. No, you just can't let them grow. You've got to do a little bit of work there to stop the cross pollination.
Sure.
But it's fun. And then collecting the pods and drying the seeds. And yeah.
So do you have a greenhouse at the Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm?
No. No, everything's just is out in the yard, and so I'm at the mercy of the seasons.
Sure.
So we go through the warm season, we go through the cool season. Cool season, we've done Tom Thumb lettuce, which is a cute little personal head lettuce that it was really related to tennis ball, which Thomas Jefferson grew way back when. That you can still get tennis ball.
Wow.
I've grown that in the past. I'm going to try to do kale. Kale's hard to do, so I'm not going to do hard things.
Sure.
I'm just going to do the easy.
Retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of fun. So if somebody would like to look at your seeds and order them, where can they go?
Oh, heritagecottageseeds.com.
Heritagecottageseeds.com.
And we do zinnias, which I gifted you and Lizzie.
Yes, I'm very
excited. Some of our zinnias that
I grow
and
collect.
Tony,
I'm bringing seeds home. Tony's going, yes.
Yes, thank you. Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited.
Yep. And yeah. so that you can ship anywhere in the United States?
Ship strictly in the United States. Mm-hmm. We also have merch, too. We've got, the coffee mugs, which I know you guys like.
We do.
Absolutely. Man, that's the best mug. That is the best mug.
And we've got a new product. We're going to have like little cocktail glasses that are monogrammed. I don't have them. I don't have those live yet.
But they're going to come. You'll just be looking for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I got good response here in the studio.
It's a must have.
Yes.
They're gorgeous.
They are beautiful.
I think I'm going to start. What would you drink? Like whiskey in them or something?
That's what I would do. Whiskey. Okay. Whiskey with two ice cubes.
Okay. I'm going to take it
with two
drinking.
Ice cubes.
Now, because of these glasses are so cool.
Oh,
that's what we need. You don't
blame me for you go down the bad road now by doing.
They are gorgeous glasses.
There you go. Okay, we're going to be back. We're going to be taking your phone calls 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680, and we're going to be. Just remember, Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland has their. Their workshop, 9:30 a.m. Bring your own chair, and you can do that. And we're going to be talking about what to do in October, and then we have more items coming up that we thought we'd love to talk about.
Excellent!
It's a Halloween time, so we are going to be doing that. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. The newsletter went out last night. We have the update for Lizzie's gardening adventures. We have more. There's some beautiful photographs up there. My plant of the month. What is it going to be? You can sign up at she-consulting.com.
And from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Gary Bachman, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Great job. Back to Better and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We are joined today by the wonderful, extremely knowledgeable Dr. Gary Bachman. And Gary, we're going to be answering some questions. You get to meet Jerry right now.
Okay.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Teresa. And hi, Gary.
Hey, Jerry. How are you doing this morning? Good to hear you.
Well, pretty good. Pardon me?
It's good to hear you this morning.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to have you on the air. And Teresa, I always like your programs.
Thank you so much. So how can we help you this morning, Jerry?
I have a flowering plant. It's dark red, large flower. Looks like a hibiscus in a way. Mm-hmm. It's serrated, deeply lobed leaves that near maturity, when they start blooming, is the reddish streaks in the leaf. Very vigorous. There's no taste to the flower. It opens during the night and then closes later in the day, and it forms a large dark red ball about an inch or so in diameter.
Those
falls to the ground.
Yes, those are the mallow hibiscus that you can make a tea out of.
Yeah.
The name is escaping me.
Oh, you can.
Yes, you can.
Oh,
but I want to caution you, Jerry. You shouldn't be eating flowers that you don't know what the name is.
Oh, okay.
right, Gary?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm adventurous, but
I can taste it.
Yeah. it is in the mallow family. The name is just escaping me right now. I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
But you can make a tea out of it. It's the scarlet hibiscus.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Now, the flowers. Oops, I'm sorry.
What does it taste like?
You make iced tea out of it and tea. I mean, it just tastes like actually a mallow tea. It's not strong like Pico or anything like that. But you can also make iced tea out of it too as well.
Oh.
Okay,
wow.
So I would keep it. I would keep it.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's very vigorous, and I was surprised.
They do, and you'll see more of them pop up.
They seed?
They reseed very easily.
Yes, yep. They do.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got to examine this closer then.
Okay, be careful. Don't eat everything that pops up in your yard.
I'll control my eating, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens and calling in. The scarlet hibiscus is going to the name is going to pop up. If you know the name, just go ahead and text us, and we'll give you credit for it because it's right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember it. And 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So, Gary, we were talking about research, citizen research.
Right.
It's important that you do this, but what should we be looking for when we're doing that? Because we're going to talk about a couple of stories that, is not really as accurate as what it sounds. It seems like a lot of things are being done by AI now.
Done by AI, and a lot of the advice that's, that's shared is anecdotal.
Mm-hmm.
I had this one tomato plant do this.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like every tomato plant, you've got to treat every tomato plant like this.
Yes. Well, there's a commercial on TV right now for an app that says that you can pour milk on plants and it helps them. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
And, try this, do this, this is wrong, do this. And that's not really smart.
No, it's not. That commercial is kind of going along the gardening meme. I call it like a pandemic of just bad advice.
Right.
When you really, good advice is so easy to get. The extension service is the first place you should go. Or, let's figure out where we're at here. Your first choice is to call Teresa.
That's true.
Or email her. What's your email?
Yeah.
Teresa.Watkins@live.com. And they can send it right to me. That's important. So, Gary, you and I, we both do our research.
Right.
We look up plants and we look up, what's going on or what's wrong with this. And we should go to sites that have like university, edu as the extension, like .edu.
Yes.
And if you put that in with the name of the plant, you should get pretty good advice that way.
And you should get advice that's, geared to where you're growing.
Put in your zone.
Because if you're in Michigan and you want to know about the hibiscus we just talked about with Jerry.
Sure.
You know, Teresa's probably not the best source for...
Right. Well, I'm going to have different advice.
I'm just meaning from Florida.
Yes.
But look for that advice from your local growing area.
Exactly. So we're going to be talking about spiders and what plants keep spiders out of the house. All right. But first, we're going to go to Eileen. Eileen, were your ears burning?
Good morning. Was it firefly pansies that y'all were talking about?
No, it's firefly petunias.
Petunias, okay.
Yes.
And are they a perennial?
They're an annual.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No annuals.
No, not for you. No, but they're quite fun. And, Gary, you were saying that you had yours go 2 years, but not every one of them's going to do that.
Right. That was just a kind of one of these one-off occurrences. First time it's ever happened in 15 years for me. So
there you go. Yeah, no, petunias are annuals here in Florida. We are coming into the season, though, to grow petunias. We grow our petunias in the fall and springtime. They start petering out around April, May. And by July, they're pretty much gone.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I have another question for
you. Ma'am.
What is the name of that lavender that smells?
All lavenders smell.
Yeah.
They do?
Yes, all lavenders smell.
Well, no, she might be talking about the one that they usually get the essential oils, because I know that I've seen in the box stores where they have like the Florida lavender is what they call it, and then they have lavender plant, because I buy them both, and mm-hmm. the one that for essential oils, but I don't know what the proper name of it is.
Yeah, no.
They look different, too. I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah, send me a picture of it, Florida lavender. Because there's Mediterranean lavender, there's French lavender, Spanish lavender.
Yeah.
And we should go with the Spanish and the Mediterranean. Phenomenal. If you're looking for a great lavender to grow that takes the heat, takes the full sun, and does well here in Florida with our humidity, is phenomenal.
That's probably it. They just call it Florida.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Florida. So that's it. Eileen, thank you so much. We're going to be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens Saturday morning. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this week is my top five flowering plants for hanging baskets. These plants are all from Proven Winners. You can go onto Proven Winners' website and get them. So my first one is Calabacoa. It's a prolific bloomer. It has nonstop color from frost all the way through. It is just a gorgeous plant, Gary.
Love, love, love Calabacoa. I mean, really.
It has a fold-apart sun, 6 to 12 inches tall, orange, red, yellow, white, purple, pink, variegated. You have stripes, multicolor. Great. Number four, Double Delight Begonias. This is a cascading begonia. Makes a perfect choice for hanging baskets, your spillers, and your containers. It's standalone, or you can use it in combination with Dichondra, Silver Falls, or Terrinia. All beautiful colors. It's an annual, Gary,
yes.
Except for tropics right here,
yeah,
9
absolutely.
And 11.
Yep.
And then Lantana, luscious. They have a wonderful brand, Proven Winners, Lantana. Vibrant flowers. It attracts hummingbirds, butterflies, and other insect pollinators. Annual except in zones 9 to 11, which is Florida. Full sun, deer resistant. And then number two is Calotophis, which is the ladybird sunglow. And this is a new plant for me, but it is beautiful. It's from Texas. It thrives in hot, humid, or dry conditions. It has a mounding trailer filler plant. It grows great with Blue My Mind, mm-hmm. Evolvus, and Superbenas, and Superbell Calabacoas, annuals too. And my last one, Gary, is Double Impatience, the Rockapulco.
Yep.
orange shades. It's Rockapulca series. Beautiful, beautiful colors. It looks great with sweet potato vine or caladiums, and it's an annual too, except for zones 10 and 11 here in Florida.
Right.
So great plants. Hanging baskets usually change out seasonally, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I do. Usually it's petunias or some other kind of trailing plant.
Right.
Then in the fall, I've gone with micro tomatoes, dwarf tomatoes.
Oh, my goodness. How fun.
You have to switch things up.
Right. And that helps, too, with disease prevention, doesn't it?
Oh, sure.
When you actually change the species and variety. So it's always good. The more diverse your landscape is, and you change out your hanging baskets and do different varieties, the healthier your landscape's going to be.
For sure.
1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 if you're in the garden area. Let's go to Bill in Ormond Beach. Good morning, Bill. How can we help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Hey, I have a very small lawn, and I've had the spray company because I've always had chronic issues with odd webworms and the winter fungus on the grass. And this year, my yard has never looked worse. So I fired them. And my question to you is, because I just put down some plugs to fill in the areas that I would assume chinch bugs got a hold of. What would you say? I put some topsoil and what was it, mushroom compost in the bag, mix that together, and put the sod plugs in that. Is there any kind of fertilizer I should be putting down for the rest of the somewhat healthy lawn?
Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, Bill. You know, as far as fertilizing your lawn, I think you should, but you really, this is just my opinion, you really probably need a soil test just to see where you're at nutritionally instead of just going out and getting a bag from the garden center and applying it. With the soil test, you can really dial in the nutrition of your turf.
Right.
You know, and keep that turf looking good. And good-looking turf, well-maintained turf, is your best defense against the sod webworms
and
the chinch bugs and the fungus.
So let me just give you a little bit of my thoughts, Bill, is that when you put the topsoil and the compost down in your ground on top of your grass, which is fine, you're not going to need to water as much. So if you're getting fungus and you're getting sod webworms and chinch bugs, you may be watering a little too much. Okay, so, how often do you water? Do you have an irrigation system? Because you're on the beach there. Do you have an irrigation system?
I do, and the company that I had employed, they said, well, first of all, you're watering too much. Or no, it was not enough, and then it was too much.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they just grasp at straws. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So, turf here in Florida, no matter what it is, whether it's Bahia grass, St. Augustine zoysias, need between 1 inch and 1.5 inches of water a week. That's all it needs. And we're not and that's twice a week. If you want to do 3/4 of an inch or an inch each time, that's fine. I'll give you 2 inches a week. But we get in the summertime rainfalls where we're getting 3, 4, 5 inches or up to 10 a month. And you just want to make sure getting a rain gauge is a homeowner's best friend. Just put it out in an area where it's unobstructed, and you'll see how much rainfall you get. Because, Bill, across the street, they may get 2 inches, and you may not have gotten enough. So a rain shutoff device and a rain gauge are really helpful. And then I would go ahead and fertilize it right now. When was the last time you did fertilize it?
Well, I guess they may have put a liquid feed a while back. It was probably more iron-based.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they're required by law to do that, so it just kind of depends on what they were doing. I would get a soil test, but since you haven't done it with a granule, I would go ahead and do it now, and then get that soil test for next spring and get that grass off to a good start before you start the sod webworms.
Okay. Also, I ran into a bunch of caladium bulbs, and I'm kind of wondering, I've seen where in the past they come up nice the first year and maybe not so much the next year. Is there any place I should put them? They seem to do better than others, just well irrigated. I know they grow them in muck out in full sun.
Yeah, but they do. Full sun, I mean, they do nice in full sun. There's varieties that you should only put in shade, and then there's the full sun varieties. So it depends on what you have, but I would just use them wherever you like. And, you know, digging them, you don't have to dig them up here in Florida. They do multiply. But again, the fertilizer probably would be helpful for it too as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Let us know how you do. Thank you for calling in, Bill. That's great. 1-888-455. We have a few more minutes. 455-2967. You can text 23680 like Debbie in Tallahassee did, Gary. She said she's been overwintering 10 potted plumerias in a garage with a heater to maintain temperatures greater than 45 to 50 degrees.
Sure.
Can they be removed from the soil to overwinter?
Ooh, boy, that's a good question. Can they? Maybe. Would I do it? No, I'd leave them in the pots.
Yeah, I would too. Just so they could get access to moisture,
right?
Especially when you've got, you know, a heater going on in the greenhouse. It's not like they're really going to go dormant with a heater on.
Right. Yeah. I would just be hesitant of, you know, of the plant drying out if you take it out. Is it just a space issue? You don't have space for all the pots,
right?
Or maybe you could take them out, put several of them, tag them, put them in one big pot to overwinter.
Yeah, you could do that. That would reduce the space if the space is the issue. Because you don't need to do it. So when people when growers take these plumerias, they dry them off and they kind of scar on the bottoms and they'll replant. They tell them to cut off the mm-hmm. tips and replant them. But that kind of delays the whole process. Whereas right now she's got them in the pots and they're used to going dormant. They're not going to take as long as...
Right. They don't have to start over from scratch again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, Debbie, we both agree that you should just keep them in the pots, okay? Let us know reason why. It might change if you've got a different reason that they may go. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have Dr. Gary Bachman with us today. Great, great resource. And so, Gary, we talked earlier about your Heritage Cottage seeds.
Right.
Where can they get them? Just say your website real slow.
Is heritagecottageseeds.com is the place to go. Take you right to the seed store.
That will be great. And you have a lot of merch there too as well. And Katie, and you are here for a great couple of weeks here left in Florida. You're going to travel the state. Where are you going to go?
Well, Sunday morning, we're heading south. We're going to finally make it to Key West, we hope. And then a couple days there, then up the East Coast, and a couple days in St. Augustine.
Wonderful. It sounds great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It sounds great. The newsletter is out. If you'd like to receive it, you can go to my website, shehe-consulting.com, and sign up for it. Or you can send me an email or a text message. Please go to our Facebook page and like us. And we would really, really appreciate that. And, of course, you've got friends who don't even know we exist. We've got wonderful listeners in Texas, mm-hmm. Brazil,
yes.
And all over
Australia,
all over the country. And so you're out there, let us know. And so if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.